The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Dusty White. I'm one of the pastors that gets to serve at this particular church. And so if you're visiting with us, welcome. Once a week at our house, we pick a person, usually once a week, sometimes every other week if we forget. We pick a person, they stand on their chair. Usually it's a Friday. That's the day that I try to protect as my day off. And we have that person stand up on their chair. We go around the table speaking words of honor to that particular person. This is my this is my daughter Paxton. She looks super cute in that picture, doesn't she? Yeah. She's actually the superintendent at our house, and we all work for her. So she has 5 older siblings and 2 parents, and I think she has our dog Barkley working for her as well. But in this particular photo, what's happening is it was her turn. We just go in birth order, and so it's her turn. And so what's happening here is the siblings around the table and the parents participate as well are speaking words of encouragement to her and just saying, hey, we appreciate you because dot, dot, dot. Only a couple rules. You can't repeat or steal somebody else's comments. And you can guess that with 8 of us in the household that there's plenty of fresh material to go around. It takes a couple months, actually, to get back to the particular kid. So we do this as well. My wife and I have to stand up as well when it gets to our turn. And we do this because we want our kids to know how to honor and esteem other folks. We want them to know how to honor and esteem their peers, which right now are their siblings in the house, even if they're stealing their Legos and doing things like that. We also want them to be able to receive honor, and we do this regularly just with the hopes that as they grow up and leave the house, this virtue of honor will be instilled into them, and so that's part of our practice. Here's what that looks like on a particular Friday or Saturday. Wes and Cindy Freemeyer, could you stand up, please? Wes and Cindy, our church is indebted to you. Some of you don't know Wes and Cindy, but they have 5 grown children. All of them, most of them have married, not all of them. All of them walk with the Lord, and so we're indebted to you for that. Wes, I know your story. I know that you were saved later on in life, and that since then you have devoted your life to Christ and to his church. And so it is a blessing to have you as a part of members of this church. It's an honor to be one of your pastors. You guys are amazing. You have blazed some trails for us to follow that we are indebted to. And so we honor you this morning. Thank you. Words of honor. It's a lost virtue in our culture, isn't it? Even as I did that for Wes and Cindy, you start to get a little bit like, oh my goodness, like, what is happening? We have been conditioned out of an honor culture, and Scripture calls us to honor, to revere, to respect, to esteem. That's how we might define it. But then Scripture takes it even a little bit further, and it tells us from the Hebrew origination that honor actually means heavy or weighty, or as we would say, to give honor where honor is due, or to give weight where weight is due. And today we find ourselves in the fifth commandment in our Ten Commandment series. The first four commandments have had us looking at our orientation and our disposition towards God himself and how we relate to God. And then the fifth commandment takes a shift, moves us horizontally on how we relate to other folks, and it starts with our parents. It reads this: honor your mother and father, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, keep the fifth commandment in mind and listen also to Matthew chapter 10, verses 35 through 36. We pick up the story after Jesus has called his disciples. He hasn't just picked them and called them. He's sending them out now. And as he sends them out, he tells them that they're going to be persecuted. In fact, they might even become fearful as they proclaim the gospel. And so listen also to Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. Listen to Jesus. He says this: do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So what do we do with this? The fifth commandment says, honor your mother and father that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. And then Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, hey, I'm actually going to perhaps divide some of your family. Is Jesus disregarding the fifth commandment? How do we obey the fifth commandment knowing that Jesus has said, I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against his mother? Another story continues into the Gospel of Mark. Jesus' mothers and brothers have caught wind that Jesus is getting a little bit off the rails. He's getting a little bit more devoted to his disciples. He's thrown himself into this ministry thing. He's at a house in Capernaum. They're in Nazareth. And so Jesus' mom and his brothers, they're like, okay, we're going to go to Capernaum. We're going to talk with Jesus. We're going to have a little family chat. And so they go down to Capernaum. He's actually teaching on blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. It must have been a pretty important theological distinction for that particular time. And the Gospel of Mark tells us that they show up at the house. Jesus' mom and brothers show up at the house. They can't get to him. And so they call out and they're like, hey, Jesus, it's your mom and brothers. We're here. Come out and chat with us. Mark chapter 3, verses 33 through 35 say this: and he answered them, he answered his mom and brothers, who are my mother and brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him as he was doing ministry, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And so Jesus, in chapter 3 of Mark, doesn't discard the fifth commandment. He actually transcends the fifth commandment and he transforms the fifth commandment, which is his nature, because he is actually God. Make no mistake, he loved his mom, he loved his biological mother, he loved his biological brothers, but here he takes it a step further and he shows us that the church is the family. Ed Clowney puts it this way when he's referencing Mark chapter 3. Jesus shows his earthly family, his disciples and the crowd, and those who read the story today, that his true family was bound not by the blood of physical descent, but by his own blood given on the cross. And so Jesus does not discard his mother. He does not discard the fifth commandment. In fact, he honors it, esteems it, upholds it, and transcends it. And therefore, he offers us the transformation to obey the fifth commandment as well. A couple Thursday nights ago, I was able to attend one of our many gospel communities. I think we have 41 gospel communities now, which is amazing. And in a growing church, we're obviously always looking to multiply more. And so this particular night, I got to go to this particular gospel community because they're multiplying six folks out. It was a lot of fun. And usually what happens when we multiply a gospel community, one of the church leaders gets to go, and which is totally like it feels like cheating. Like I'm walking into a gospel community just because I get to be a church officer and pray for these folks that are leaving, and there's certain folks staying. And so this night there was a meal, which is per the usual of every gospel community. And this night there was cake, which I just think every time we multiply a gospel community around here, we should have cake because it just makes it that much better and it's celebratory. And so there's words going back and forth. We're thanking God together. We dedicate that night just to thank the Lord for what he has done and what he might do. And so then we pray and thank the Lord, and then we pray with expectation for what he might do next. These folks are saying, hey, we're going to miss you. And these folks are saying, hey, we're going to miss you. But we know that we need more space so that more people can be welcomed in. And this particular night, what happened was one of the gals, one of the single gals in this particular gospel community, had a friend from out of town who was a coworker, and she had come into town to shadow her for some professional reasons. And so she just invited her to her gospel community. So she comes, I meet her, I explain, hey, usually what happens is this, but tonight it's going to look like this because these people are leaving. I explain multiplication to her. She totally gets it. It's fine. The night goes on. We share a meal. We get to the celebration part. There's words of thankfulness. There's prayer. There's expectation. And then at the end, this gal says, hey, can I add a few things? And in a moment of leadership, I was like, what is she going to say? And then, of course, I was like, well, of course, you know? Well, of course. And in my mind, I'm going, oh, boy. I mean, what does she think of all this gospel community stuff? I mean, this family thing. And she said, from the moment I walked in the door, I felt the family atmosphere in here. That's a quote. That's what she said. And then she went on to tell me and tell the group, the whole group, I could tell that I was being invited and welcomed into something very unique and very special here. Because the church is a family. Later on that night, after we had wrapped up, I was chatting with her a little bit more, and she told me that a couple months back, she actually lost her biological mom who was living with her, who she was taking care of, and family had just become very disoriented for her. And so she said, I think God brought me from Florida to here for these 48 hours to be in this particular house at this particular moment to just experience family because the church is family. You have to remember that if you're a Christian, right, it's because God has adopted you into his family. God the Father did that, and he has done so through his son's death on the cross, which, by the way, Jesus is your oldest and your biggest, toughest brother. And so as we look at the fifth commandment today, as we heed it, as we apply it to our very own earthly lives here today, we must realize that first, Jesus has family values, but they are kingdom values. And one of the kingdom values is that we honor our earthly parents. We honor because Jesus honored. But also, you have to remember that Jesus warns us that faith in him might divide families. And we know from Islamic law, for instance, that a believer in Jesus will be disowned at least, even perhaps put to death, for his apostasy. I've met Christians in this position. Maybe you have as well. That's an example of becoming a Christian and it breaking some earthly family value and Jesus transcending it with his kingdom values. Jesus' family values do not guarantee stability, prosperity, and happiness to anyone, but he does promise some things, friends. He promises eternal security and abundant joy forever. And as God the Father and as God the Son transform this entire idea of family and Jesus provides the pathway to honor, we get to look at it today. Jesus honored his mom and his dad all the way to the cross and from the cross. John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Obedience, honor, right there. Before Jesus goes to be with the Father, John chapter 19 says that he realizes in his earthly nature in that moment that, man, who's going to take care of mom? So John chapter 19 actually tells us that he charged John to take care of his mother. And then from that moment on, scripture says John took her into his home. And so if we want to honor our parents, as we look at the fifth commandment, just short and sweet commandment, but man, can it be complex? And so if we want to honor our parents, we have to look to Jesus, which is where scripture takes us. Real quick too, honor also goes beyond just our moms and dads. Honor in the fifth commandment goes beyond just our mothers and fathers. It includes the home, but it also includes the structures, the orders in life and in society that we are to live in submission to others along the way. It's not exclusive to children and parents. It includes family, but it also includes church. It also includes civil governments, structures like that. J.I. Packer says this, family is the basic social unit, and no nation is stable where the family is weak. Interesting times, isn't it? Packer's saying, we're all under authority at some point in some regard, so it starts with the family, or at least it's supposed to start with family. It's up to the family to teach respect, to teach honor, and then from there it trickles into all of our other societal implications. You'll notice that this commandment comes with a promise. It says, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This promise that the fifth commandment brings us is less about personal promise, and it's more about a promise to the people of God. Family structure is the first place of authority and order. So this is a promise to us as a church. It's a promise to us as the people of God and to the people of God everywhere, less than it is about us individually. So it's not necessarily saying, if I honor my mom and dad, then it's going to go well for me, Dusty White. It's saying, if I honor my mom and dad, then it's going to go well for us in the church because God has given them to me. And so as we honor and as we give weight to what needs to be honored, God says, you're going to be full of life, the church will be strengthened, society will get stronger, and the mission will go forward. That's what the fifth commandment says to us. Now, can I be honest with you? Honoring my mom and dad is super hard. The pastors asked me to share my story and said, well, you got to preach on the fifth commandment because we got to hear your story. So here's my story. My mom got pregnant in high school, so therefore she got kicked out of her Catholic high school. My parents tried to give it a go, but they divorced when I was 2. So I grew up with my grandparents. My grandma was 38 when I was born. She already had 3 of her own kids, and so she just took me in as her 4th kid, which I'm super grateful for. Who knows what would have happened if my grandparents wouldn't have done that. Psalm 27 says that my mother and father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in, and that's really what my grandparents did. They provided grace to me. They provided a roof over my head, but you have to keep in mind, I was the first grandkid, okay? So at the end of the day, the first grandkid meant do what you want and be home by midnight. I mean, when I became a teenager. So my childhood was good in the sense that I had provisions, but it was super difficult relationally. And it was very difficult relationally with my parents, especially my dad. It got complex because my mom had custody, but didn't really know what to do, and she didn't have any support from her family. She was kind of shunned, unfortunately. So my dad's parents stepped in because my dad was breaking all the other commandments, abusing alcohol, addicted to things, drugs, selling drugs, things like that. He had a house in Benson, and the deal was if I was asleep, then he couldn't take me to his house in Benson. Or if he was intoxicated, he couldn't take me to his house in Benson. So I remember at a young age, fake sleeping, because if I could fake sleep good enough, then I won. But if I lost, it was rough. Because I don't know if you know that people who are abusing alcohol and drugs, they're not the friendliest folks. So if they win, they win. And so Benson's cool now to a lot of you. A lot of the Bensonites are like, yeah, Benson revival. But as a kid in the 80s, early 90s, Benson was hell on earth for me. I remember ripping down Maple Street way too fast. And the Lord reminds me of that, redeems me of that, because he has replaced the fear with great security in him. So now, even to this day, as I drive through Benson, I'm reminded of how far God has plucked me out of darkness into his marvelous light. We'd get to the house in Benson. My dad would pass out. I would be fearful. It didn't feel like home. So my dad would pass out. I'd sneak the phone, cordless phone, pull the antenna out. Half the room's like, what's that? I'd call my grandma, scared. She'd calm me down, sometimes sing, repeat. This was childhood, relationally surviving. Surviving for a long time. And then, because I was at my grandparents most of the time, I met the Kufall family, who were next door neighbors. They had 5 kids, and on the age scale, I fell between them, which was just grace to me, because most of my household was just unstable. And so when their door was open, which seemed like all of the time, I ended up going on their family vacation sometimes. I'd jump in the car. They had this Ford station wagon, and if I could get into that seat, man, I would. And they'd go to church. I sensed something in their house that wasn't in my house. It was joy, peace, patience, understanding. In fact, I'm a Christian today because of the Kufall family. You would say in your Reformed theology, of course, the grace of God saved you. And yeah, he did it through the Kufalls, okay? So if you need a theological reason, to welcome the punk neighbor kid into your house who has no manners, I'm a living example of that, okay? Now, here's what's crazy. The Kufalls are actually here today, and they're never here. They've never been to our church a day in their life. And Jim and Sally are here. Jim and Sally, would you stand up, please? Yeah. I love you. After the service, Sally's probably going to say, I can't believe you did that. We're never coming back. Things like that. But you see, as a kid, I'm looking for relationships. I'm looking for stability. And so I'd pop around from family to family that seemed to establish that, seemed to have that godly masculinity, biblical femininity. Wasn't uncommon for me to be at their cabin in Minnesota in the summers. And so I had to get back to Omaha somehow. I'm still to this day not sure how I always got to Minnesota and back. But one time, what happened was I jumped in a car with these 3 guys that were coming back to Omaha, 2 in which are still lifelong friends to this day because they have discipled me. They're actually full-time pastors as well. And they showed me the ropes to what true joy looked like, and it's because Sally looked at them and said, hey, you need to take care of this guy. I'm not a Christian. I don't know what's going on. Sure. To this day, those 2 guys will say, it was like my own mom was telling me to do something. So I rode home from the cabin with those 3 guys, and then I started following Jesus. And not that it needed to get any more rocky at my house. It was already touch and go. My relationship with my parents and really all of my family had become very interesting, to say the least. I'm following Christ now, and so now it gets a little bit more dicey. It didn't sit well with a lot of my family, honestly, but it definitely didn't sit well with my dad. So we play a round of golf. I don't golf much, but we played a round of golf, and then it starts pouring rain. And it's the kind of rain where you're like, I don't want to get out of my car. And so I thought, man, I've been a Christian a couple years. This is my shot. So my dad and I are we're basically locked in my Honda Accord because you're just not going to get out right now. And I thought, man, this is it. And so I just start telling my dad, here's what's happened. Here's what God has done in my life. Here's why I have purpose. Here's why I have hope. Here's why I have a vision for my life. And he said to me, don't you ever talk to me about Jesus again. He didn't say it like that. I can't say what he said from this pulpit with a clear conscience. But you know what? I haven't. Why? Honor. Sure. In some indirect ways, obviously my life, 18 years later, after being a Christian, 19 now, in some indirect ways, my dad, my mom, my family have realized that this is the way of life for me. But my dad has asked me to not talk to him about Jesus. Ironic that I'm a pastor talking to you about Jesus, right? You can see how that could get complex for me. That's kind of what I do. So it gets a little difficult. But I haven't, because I want to honor my dad. Then I did some crazy things in my family, which was graduate high school. I went on to college, easy, on a scholarship, got married, stayed married, still married. My family's just not sure what to do with me. And friends, listen, I'm just a guy trying to obey the commandments, look to Jesus as we do this whole thing together. That's what the fifth commandment is all about. What does it look like to honor? What does it look like to look to Jesus who honored his earthly parents all the way to the cross and from the cross? Now, I want to practically try to apply this to you. You'll notice that the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. Short commandment, but both your parents make the cut. Honor mom and dad. I think that's interesting because I think we tend to lean towards one or the other a little bit easier. Maybe for you, dad is easier to honor, but mom, not so much. Or maybe for you, mom gets it, but man, dad, he's hard to respect. So regardless of your story, regardless of my story, this commandment still applies to us. The fifth commandment has no clauses that we get out of. So for some of you, when you hear this commandment, you immediately think, yeah, this is a great commandment for most people, but you don't know my parents, or you don't know my situation. Listen to Tim Challies, who also wrote a book recently. It's only released a couple weeks ago, called The Commandment We Forgot. I read it. It's pretty decent. If this fifth commandment is a challenge for you, it's worth picking up. This commandment is true, whether we are young or old, whether we are parented or parenting, whether we are dependent upon our parents or they are dependent upon us, whether we live under their roof or whether they live under ours. Regardless, the fifth commandment applies to each of us for the simplest of reasons. We are all children. There is no human being outside of its purview because there is no parentless person. So what does honor look like for you? What does it look like for you to honor your parents? I want to speak to three different folks in the room. First, if you grew up with Christian parents, I have some ideas for you. If you grew up with non-Christian parents, and then thirdly, if you have complexities in your story, such as maybe you grew up in a single-parent home, or maybe there's abuse in your home, or neglect, or abandonment, or maybe, in fact, you just don't even know your parents. So I want to speak to these three groups. But before I do that, kids in the room. All the parents are like, Cormdale Kids is down the hall, man. This fifth commandment, I'll go get my kids real quick and I'll bring them in and we can talk fifth commandment. Yeah, it's easy when we're talking to kids. But kids, if you're 19 or younger, okay, I just want you to listen to me as one of your pastors real quick. You need parental guidance way more than you think. And you'll stunt your own growth and success if you reject it. In fact, Scripture says if you reject your parental guidance, then you're just rejecting God's blessings to you. They're trying to save you, spare you from a lot. They're trying to provide for you and do it in a good way. So if you're dependent upon them, they're paying your car insurance, they're giving you money, they're putting food on the table, then you need to trust me on this, that your parents might seem out of touch. You might not like their wardrobe. You don't even like half of their political views. But listen, kids, your parents have been teenagers before, and they know some stuff. So obey your parents and obey them, not just to obey them, but obey them because God gets honored when you do so. So if you want to please the Lord, honor your parents. So that means bite your tongue when you feel like arguing. That means trusting the math, that they are older for you for a reason. And in fact, not just older from you, God has given you the parents that you have, so you get to simply honor them. Now, this is an important caveat, and kids, I need you to hear me on this. This is important. If you don't think your parents are worthy of honor because it seems like they're breaking all of the other commandments and they're not honoring the Lord, in fact, they distract you from honoring the Lord because they are not honoring the Lord, then you need to come to your pastors or you need to get to somebody, some other authority in your life and talk about that, okay? Because the fifth commandment does not call you to negligence. So we can talk about that if we need to, but in general, just know that honoring your parents is good, kids, okay? Okay, now that we got all the kids straightened out, let's talk about adults again. Christian parents. If your parents are Christians and you were raised in a Christian home, then one thing that you just need to do is thank the Lord. And I mean that. I mean that. And I don't mean that just because of my story. And so I'm like looking at your story going like, man, what do you got to complain about? I'm not saying that. I'm saying what a beautiful situation to have a Christian foundation for you to build upon. I realize that the Spirit is tweaking some things. I realize you might not agree with everything that your parents have taught you or that you're doing, but if you have two Christian parents, you need to praise the Lord that you have some good things going for you. You have some things that are hardwired into you and some muscle memory for you that you just need to thank God for. So if you're raised with Christian distinctive, please don't overlook that or take that for granted. In fact, something that you could do today, one of my good friends did this, is he just thanked his parents. So one thing you could do right now is you're just like thinking, man, I don't even know last time I honored my parents. You could just call them up today and say thanks. Thanks for the Christian heritage. Thanks for the spiritual heritage that you've given our family. And I've just kind of like gone with the motions. One of my dear friends wrote a tribute to his parents and then read it to him. Fifth commandment applied right there. Non-Christian parents. If you are a kid of non-Christian parents, or if your parents think that you're just kind of crazy for following Jesus, take heart, because Jesus said that would happen. He did. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul says the gospel is actually foolishness to those who are perishing. And so to follow Jesus and to be redefined by kingdom values instead of your nuclear, earthly Christian or family values, you have Christian values now. And so I realize it can be lonely at times. It can be isolating at times. But you have to remember, God's given you a new family that actually feels like home. And that's the church. Also, if you have non-Christian parents, Christian friendship and Christian community is important for you, but it's actually the most important for you. It's important for all of us, but Christian community and Christian friendship's important for you. You have to be declarative in your friendships, and you have to cling tight to people. Now you're like, oh, well, that feels a little needy. I'm good. Yeah, listen, if you've been surviving, then you think you have a ton of self-sufficiency, and you need some intimacy in your life, and that comes through good Christian friends. You also realize that one of the ways that God's on mission to your parents is through honoring them. How will your family know the gospel? How will they understand what Jesus has done for you, for them? One simple way is just to honor them. Honor them. When appropriate, thank them for the things that they have done. Maybe practical things. Maybe they taught you how to manage your finances well. Thank them. Thank them for that. Now listen, I have to dig deep on this, okay? I got to dig real deep. And this is why God gives us the fifth commandment and says, honor your mother and father, because I'm prone to dishonor. So, Christian character must take precedent, and honor is a distinctive of that. One, This is where I'm at, church. One of the things that I do to honor my parents is I answer the phone when they call me. I mean, I'm just being real. I'm with people all day long. And then when I get home, there's seven more people there. It's great. But sometimes I sit in my driveway and I'm like, all right, here we go. Part-time job. I'm going to hit that button. We're going to go in that door. We got this. All right, let's go. Okay? So I'm with you, honestly, throughout the week. I'm just meeting with you. And then I'm going home. People, constantly. And so when my dad calls, you know what I think? I'm good. I don't have time for this. You know what? In my phone, first name dad, last name, answer it, all caps. Yeah. That's where I'm at. Having a 15-minute phone conversation with my dad is honestly me honoring him. The other thing I have is close friends that they'll just ask me. They'll just pop me with questions. Now it's to the point where it's like almost every other week. It's starting to get a little intense. And they'll just say, hey, how's your dad? Which is cue for, you better be caring about your dad. So, don't avoid your parents. Listen to Joe Thorne. Jesus has showed you the way by accomplishing your salvation. This is your gospel hope. And in his saving work, you not only find the way to follow, you also find the grace to empower such obedience. And so here, you get to represent Jesus to your parents as obedient sons and daughters. Have you considered your calling in that light? You represent the Savior to your parents by honoring them. Fulfill your calling by following Jesus. So, for those of us with non-Christian parents, let's resolve together, not in self-will and not in self-sufficiency, but in a deep dependence upon God our Father to honor our non-Christian parents. Okay, complexities. Some of you have some complexities. You wish it was actually as easy as Christian or non-Christian, but actually there's other folks in the room. Because at one point, your mom just had to hightail it out of there, and she took you with her. So first, if you have abuse, neglect, or abandonment in your story, or just some complex things, I want you to know that your pastors are sorry for that. Genuinely, I mean that. Because you have some things that we have to talk about. You have some things that we need to get over for you to experience the church as a family and God as the Father appropriately. Some of you have a hole in your chest so big that we could drive a truck through it because your dad just avoided you or your mom neglected you. And God wants to fill that. And you tell everybody that you're fine, but you're not. You need help getting to God the Father and understanding Jesus' brotherhood that he wants to offer you. Some of you had a mom that was so worried about her own success or her own appearance or her own platform that you just actually kind of felt like a nuisance in the way, or you felt like a distraction to her. And so the fifth commandment just gets really complex. And most likely, in order to get to honor, hear me on this, the fifth commandment still applies, right? So in order to get to honor your mom and dad, you have to go through the doors of lament or suffering and call it what it is. God does not demand that children who were abused by their unrepentant fathers or mothers should just remain in close relationship with them and turn a blind eye and just honor them. Okay, the fifth commandment is not calling us to foolishness. It's calling us to flourishing. In fact, the commandment promise at the end is a commandment and a promise of flourishing. So perhaps, if you have complexities in your story, honoring your parents, maybe through lament, grief, and just inviting the Holy Spirit to walk alongside of you in that, to guide you. Maybe the way to honor your parents is just to not dishonor them. Honor might be extremely difficult for you, but what would it look like to let God absorb the bitterness, to let God absorb the anger, the strife, and absolve that for you, which he did through your biggest brother, Jesus? Where damage runs deep, past trauma can't be overlooked, but where the fifth commandment can still be true for us. Man, sometimes the fifth commandment, when you look at it, don't you just go, man, this thing is impossible. Listen to Tim Challies again. The more I read and study Scripture, the more I conclude that God asks impossible things of his people. At least he asks things that would be impossible without his presence, his wisdom, and his power. In the hard cases, giving honor to parents may seem impossible, but still the call goes out. For many people, this is the deepest kind of challenge. For all of us, it is a challenge for which we would desperately need the grace of God. So for those of you with complex situations, the fifth commandment still applies, but it's probably through forgiveness and a deep dependence upon God. All right, if the fifth commandment is for children, which it is, we're all children, the fifth commandment is also for parents. And so quick word to parents. All right, I'm the pastor of marriage and family, so you're welcome. Quick word to parents, okay? Parents, are you actively leading your household to Jesus? Are you lording over them or are you leading them? There's a difference, right? Husbands, are you talking to your wife in an honorable way? See, you can't get mad at your son or your daughter for their talking back to their mama if he's just picking up what you're laying down, right? Are you worthy of honor is the question of the fifth commandment to parents. Are we worthy of honor? Some of us have some repenting to do. We just do. And we look at the law of God, the fifth commandment, and we look at the grace of Jesus, and we go, oh man, I guess I got to repent. Because some of us have been too busy to give time to our kids. And we need to apologize, and we need to adjust. Others of us haven't been too busy. We've actually just built our life around our kids, their sports activities, their success, their academic success, maybe the future version of our kid. In fact, you know what school your kid's going to. You haven't told them yet. But man, you are working towards that. And you too need to apologize and adjust. So, not too long ago, we were sitting around the table, and it was just the older kids. It wasn't all of our kids. I don't remember what kids were there, but it just seemed like the older kids were there. Sometimes that's the case for me. I'm not sure who's actually around. It's a good thing that my wife is always around because she always is keeping track. Not too long ago, my wife, Jason, and I were sitting around the table with a few of our older kids, and I just said to them, this is a couple months ago, and I just said, hey, someday you're going to have to let mom and dad know where we have wronged you and where we have hurt you so that we can ask for forgiveness and have the most flourishing relationship possible. And then I just quickly changed the subject so that we didn't have to do it right then. But parents, we have work to do on this fifth commandment. It's up to the kids to honor us, but we have work to do to be honorable, don't we sometimes? G.I. Packer, what we must realize is that God, who is himself a father, father of our Lord Jesus Christ and of all Christians through him, cares about families enormously. Family life, with its built-in responsibilities for both parents and children, is part of his purpose for all. And the way we behave as children and parents is a prime test of both our humanity and our godliness. And so, church, what a joy and privilege it is to obey the fifth commandment and look to God the Father and to Jesus the Son as we do it together. Let's pray and ask his grace upon us as we uphold his law. God, we come before you this morning, humbled by your word, humbled by your grace and your mercy to us. We are a room full of people who have broken the fifth commandment, but who desperately want to obey the fifth commandment. We want to restore honor to our church and culture. We want to esteem our parents where honor is due. Some of us have some complexities with that. Some of us have some blessings in that. Would you meet all of us right where we're at? God, would you minister to us as we continue to worship here this morning in your holy name? Amen.